So, we're going to call this meeting to order at, are you ready, Bill? Okay, we're going to call this meeting to order at 5:35 p.m. Friday, November 5th, 2010. This is the Citizens Advisory Committee for Jury Selection. We are in the Brookings Administrative Center, the Jennifer K. Putman Meeting Room. And if we can do a roll call, starting with this lovely lady right here.
Okay, Putman Jennifer.
John Miller.
Brian Doliner.
Bill Brown.
Barbara Kessel.
And Aaron Edmonds. So if everybody could take a second and look at the agenda, there is an item I want to add to the agenda.
And Matt Blagy was looking.
And we do a roll call.
Matt Blagy was here earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everyone who's here can have a copy of the minutes.
Well, thank you.
And Matt Gladney is here as well. So if we can take a minute to look at the agenda, it's right there. And there is one thing that I want to add, a simple reading of a letter. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't read that because it was supposed to be given to someone. I don't know if it's something I should read publicly.
I think it's fine. I was delivering it to you as the chair of the advisory committee. It was a letter also sent to Judge Stefanis.
Mm-hmm. Was it sent to more than just Judge Stefanis? Or?
No.
Okay, so maybe I'll wait for him to read it. I'd like to read it, but I just don't know if it's appropriate for me, if it's directed specifically to him.
I got a copy of it to deliver to the chair of the jury.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. So that's the there's a letter that I'd like to read to that, so I'd like to add that to under announcements and communications. Thank you very much. So if everyone's had a chance to look at the agenda, can we approve the agenda? A motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Miller, second by Ms. Kessel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And the approval of the minutes of the last meeting. I was looking at them. I'm going to take a second to read those.
The minutes are never complete because it's not a transcript. And that's also somewhat subjective. You know, the person who's writing the minutes writes the things that she thinks are important, and I am 100% open to including anything else that people feel is omitted.
You did a very good job.
It means you agree with my subjective interpretation of what was significant.
It was a long time ago, September 24th.
Well, yeah, there's been an election. Yeah, I turned in the minutes corrected from our August meeting, and right off the bat, the secretary to the county board, Kat Bork, pointed out that there was an error in the date. I said it was August 21st, and it was August 20th. She's sharp.
So does anyone have any concerns or amendments they'd like to make to these minutes? All right. Hearing none, can we approve the minutes from last meeting, please? Get a motion to approval of the minutes from last meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Ms. Miller.
Second.
Second by Mr. Dolinar. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Okay. Announcements and communications. Ms. Miller has something she'd like to pass out.
I'd like to pass out the Directory of Who's Who in Government that's prepared by the League of Women Voters. And if you already have one and you want another, take it.
Sorry, I unlocked the door.
Oh, you should give it to someone who's
still... I believe
it's
615.
I can have
it. Can I unlock them all the doors?
Thank you, Pius. These are really valuable to have.
Yeah,
they're just chock full of I mean, not only in your service to this committee, but anything you do of a public nature, everybody's in here.
Everybody.
And you'll find the jury commission in here, too. Mm. And the judges. And
thank you very much. I would appreciate that.
You know what? I'm, as the secretary, I'm going to bring these to the next meeting so we can give them to any of our members. Well, so let's just remember to bring them because so many members are not here tonight.
Are there any other announcements or communications before I read the letter?
What's this letter again, please? Explain to me.
The letter is... Well, Brian, would you like to preface that, please?
This was... a letter given to me by a friend who served on jury in the last month, and it's kind of his experience sitting on a jury observing a trial that I was asked to pass on to the jury advisory committee.
Okay.
So this is October 25th is the date. Dear Judge DeFantis, I served on the jury 2 weeks ago that convicted Jonathan Brock. I would like to share a few thoughts regarding that experience in light of the past 26 years that I have lived at the above address. There has been nearly a continuous string of drug dealing in my immediate neighborhood. On the evening of the first day of the trial, I was standing in my front yard conversing with my neighbor. My neighbor bent over and picked up a plastic baggie with a twisted corner and stated to me that this twisted corner indicated that this baggie had contained an illegal drug. That very issue had come up in court that day. The good efforts of the police department, the court system, my neighbors and myself over the years have not solved this problem in my neighborhood. The evidence against Mr. Brock was undeniable. The jury did what the law instructed us to do. I think it was fair to say that the consensus in the jury room was that sending Mr. Brock to prison would have little, if any, impact on the problem of illegal drug use and addiction in our community. Mr. Baxter and Ms. Morris, the witnesses for the state, obviously have found other sources to feed their addictions. As a taxpayer, I am frustrated and discouraged. The most recent figure I have seen for a year's incarceration of one individual was around $28,000 per year. I would like to see a change in approach. Maybe putting more resources into attacking the demand rather than attacking the supplier is worth pursuing. A public ad campaign featuring the real faces and sad, pathetic stories of the Miss Morrises and Mr. Baxters could be effective. Send these individuals into the schools to witness to children on the destructiveness of drug use. These actions might reduce the numbers who start down the path of drug use. Increased use of methadone clinics for those hopelessly addicted, as Mr. Baxter and Ms. Morris appear to be, could further reduce demand for what Mr. Brock was peddling and literally save the lives of Mr. Baxter, Morris, and others like them. I understand you do not make drug laws or sentencing guidelines. You are, however, on the front lines of this problem and are rightly so, are a respected and listened to voice. That is why I direct this letter to you. Thank you for your consideration of my thoughts. Sincerely, John Dorsey. Yes, Ms. Putt.
I don't know how often you've looked or how recently you've looked at the county's website, the page of the website that is for our committee. Minutes, once they're approved, are posted. And that's posted also. If you would like the minutes for tonight's meeting to include this letter, that could be done.
Of course, sure.
So that I will. The minutes will reflect that the chair read the letter submitted by Member Dolinar, and that it will be posted with once the minutes are approved to the web page.
That'd be terrific. Thank you.
Okay. I think the website is really cool.
Ms. Kessler,
do we need to notify or get permission from John Dorsey to put it up? I mean, he wrote it to Defonis, not to the world.
Well, he
probably would say yes, but maybe he wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I could give permission.
Okay.
I'm sure I can ask.
That'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I'll send you an email, Jenny. Okay. CC the chair.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Are there any other announcements and communications? Okay. Public participation. This is the part we've all been waiting for. The statement from public participation is nothing from me. All right. So, updates on the community education about jury service. Myself, Brian Dolinar, and Patricia Avery met with two individuals from the Champaign School District. I should be more organized like Ms. Putman. And at this meeting, we discussed the various different ways that we felt like we could have some, we could work with the school district on doing the jury education. This is Elias. I had the paper in front of me before I left. I don't know what I did with it. Brian, you don't remember their names?
Their names. The cards I don't have with me.
Ah, that might be.
Maybe it's in here.
And I have.
The school,
wrote
they
it
have
down.
Individuals from the school district. Unit 4 and Unit 116.
So it's Champaign is? 116.
No, Champaign's Unit 4.
Champaign's Unit 4. Anyway, this discussion, we met last week at Panera's.
Good for you. I don't mean that it was Panera's, but that's just frustrating that you did, you know, that's a very significant thing.
Patricia Avery as well.
Yes, Patricia Avery was there. And I wrote this down.
The members of the school board?
No, not the school board. These are members of the, this lady, I can't remember her name.
Staff member.
She's a staff member.
Assistant.
She heads up the curriculum, the K-12 bilingual curriculum for Champaign Schools, Unit 4. And her assistant, or the lady who was with her, I cannot believe I don't have that.
I got Trish from.
I wonder if it's in that folder that I gave you, Ms. Putnam.
Oh, maybe it is. Is this what you know?
It would have stuck out.
So she heads the K-12 curriculum and the bilingual program?
They're connected.
Okay.
And so, okay, this is throwing me off now. I thought I had this in my phone.
It can be forwarded on for the purpose of minutes.
Yeah, I will forward you the name. So, in the meeting, what we discovered was that there's a lot of education that we weren't aware of as a committee that does go on in the schools.
About
jury service. The thing that we learned was that if ever, it's rarely targeted from the standpoint of jury service. It's under the umbrella of civic engagement and different initiatives that citizens should partake in as citizens, but it's not a targeted effort towards the importance of jury service, what happens, what the whole process is.
It's more the kind of government process,
right?
The different branches of government, different levels, state, local, from how it was briefly described. And, I don't think there's even as much as a day really dedicated to the jury issue. I think it's one of many different components, was my sense, that were taught in the classroom. They were open to ideas of doing visits to the courthouse. There was some concern about the finances involved, of getting a bus and chartering a bus to go to the courthouse. But they were very open to it and very willing to listen. I remember Patricia also brought up the issue of peer mediation that goes on at the schools. At least there's a program, I believe, at Central?
At Central, yeah.
Or Vanna Middle School, too, I think. Beth Simpson works there.
Okay, yeah, but this was in Champaign, and they specifically knew about one in Central. And Patricia knows the woman who's headed it up. And so that was spoken about as one way in which you can have a kind of function of a jury, hearing about a mediation process. So if there's a conflict between a couple students, they have a kind of courtroom hearing, a kind of trial, a mediation. And there are people who listen in and decide about the appropriate outcome, if there's any kind of punishment or resolution. So that was another way to implement this idea of having a jury of one's peers sit in and hear about a given violation against another individual.
So what we learned was that the opportunity, they're very willing to work with us and see what they actually, we thought that they would be here tonight. One of them would be here tonight to share some other information with us. But they are very open to any ideas or trying to work together in the future to get this information, mock trials, trips to the courthouse and things like that. So I will meet also with Mark Foley, the history teacher at the Urbana Middle School, or at the high school. And he emailed me just the other day saying that there were several history teachers who are also very interested in what our ideas are and also contributing some ideas to furthering the education. And it really looks as though we have the opportunity in Champaign to maybe be on the forefront of creating some curriculum that specifically deals with jury service, so having some input in that regards, because the individuals who we met with are intricately involved in that. So also having the pamphlets done that we talked about the facts about jury service, having those pamphlets done also in Spanish.
Oh, yes.
Right? Making sure that people who speak Spanish can also understand the importance of this and how to be involved. So, I really hate, I can't remember the names and left my paper. So, they're open to it. We can follow up with them, invite them to the next meeting, come up with some ideas about what to do. We wanted to put them in touch with Roger and Judge DeFontis to make sure that they could schedule times that the courthouse would be available. When is a good time to do a tour? Can you actually do a mock trial in the courthouse? Because I thought that's what Steve Beckett does, is they have actual mock trials in the courthouse. And it really give them an opportunity to understand exactly what this process is. I'm a little concerned about the differences between what the peer mediation or jury peer juries in relationship to or in comparison to what we're talking about doing here. In the peer-to-peer piece, I think it's more about restoration and reconciliation, things like that, where, of course, here a person's life is on the line, things like that. So while I think it's good practice, I'm not sure it actually fits perfectly into what we want to do, letting people really understand, as what Mr. Dorsey said, somebody's life was in my hands. You know what I mean? And that's a different feeling than, you know, okay, we cool now, let's go to lunch together. You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit different. So I'm going to get hopefully these women will come back and speak to us at our next meeting, and maybe we can actually hash out something. I'd like for us to work on the pamphlet, though, to actually get a pamphlet of jury facts or jury requirements or whatever, something that we have that's tangible that can go out into public places, schools, churches, restaurants, whatever. You know. So, yes, ma'am.
A couple of questions. You had two separate meetings, one with folks from Unit 116 and one with folks the one, Unit 4?
Unit 4 is who we did meet with. Okay. I meet with 116 next week.
Okay. So that is upcoming. Is that going to be Mark Foley?
Yes.
Okay, but he's your in there, and maybe that will expand to other...
Yeah, there should be some other history teachers present at this meeting.
Okay.
That is the avenue that Superintendent Preston Williams wanted me to,
okay.
to pursue.
Okay. And the meeting included you and Patricia and Brian Dolinar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'll send you the lady's name when I...
Okay,
when
okay. I think that's just first rate. Now, I don't think I have to make an excuse to anyone. I'll just state, because I think everyone knows I'm pretty involved in electoral politics. Since our last meeting and even before then, I haven't done much for the Citizens Advisory Committee on Jury Service, because I've been focused on electoral politics, just completely. Now that that's dealt with, I want to go back to what came up when we were looking at that, I think it was September 17th visit to the courthouse by the Yankee Ridge kids, and when we realized that we didn't have permission to use the kitty cat, defendant cat image, several people, Tom Betts was one, I think Roger Holland was another, said, look, this stuff exists. All you have to do is go back and go to the proper sources and ask for permission. I don't think we have to recreate the wheel. I think that probably there exists, hopefully in the public domain, written material for reading audiences of different ages. So why don't we try to see if such a booklet has already been produced mm-hmm. for the elementary school student, the junior high student, the high school student. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that doesn't exist somewhere in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And then we could modify it for our purposes. But I will do that now that I've got some other things
okay.
out of the way. I can't believe that we would be the first to write something about it. And I think maybe Roger, I mean, a lot of people could help us, could steer us in the right place. It's just someone has to make the time to say, okay, I'm going to do it.
I agree. I've seen some good examples online of just like jury procedures and stuff, not necessarily in a booklet format, but even if we could borrow that or ask to use that and put it in a booklet format, we could use that too. Especially, I'd concentrate on Illinois counties because our procedures might be a lot different than other states.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if you're doing web searches and stuff,
okay,
I could try to find the one I found before. I think it might have been DuPage or Will County that had a pretty good one.
Well, so we don't go recreating the wheel, not one spoke of it. If you've already found something good,
I mean, it's not a booklet, but
right,
no, it's just kind
okay,
of a
okay, okay.
What to expect when you...
Okay. Okay, I'll be grateful if you would...
Yeah, I'll send you what I found.
Okay, so... I was set up to have a conversation with Mr. Perry. I was hoping he would come here today, but he wasn't able to come. And so I wanted to talk to him with the committee. I wanted him to see exactly what the committee was doing. So I'm trying to bring people to the meetings
mm-hmm.
and let them actually sit in and see what's going on. So he wasn't able to make it. So
probably we'll, 5:30 is not.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not meeting the ideal
yeah.
situation for folks. So I'll get back to us on that one. And so where we are right now is where everybody's been waiting to get to. Discussion about the court watch.
Oh, wait,
report.
I'd like to go back
okay.
to about. Item 7C, our public service announcements, just broadening that to discussing the public service announcements generally.
Okay.
No, I'm blanking on the WILL news person, Jeff
Bossert.
Jeff Bossert. This isn't a time when he can come either, but he is interested in the three spoken pieces that we have, the one written by Claire, Kate, by you, and by Patrick. And he was open to doing a feature if we could come to him. And I think
why don't we all get back in touch with him and think about WILL doing a feature on our public service announcements. And I think those three pieces are, a wonderful, that shows an array of what public service announcements could be. I have not heard Patrick's public service announcement on WDWS for weeks and weeks and weeks. Oh, of course, they've been doing all these paid political ads. Maybe, and I've been listening to them all. Maybe that, but I think that we're going to have to get back to them. And, starting with, thank you very much for having aired them. We would be so grateful if we could hear that again. Mm-hmm. Because it's not something that's going to go away. I think I use frequently the example of the community blood service. The blood bank doesn't stop reminding people that we need blood. You will hear that 12 months a year, year after year after year. And I think that the public service announcements about jury duty is something that is an ongoing reminder to people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Has WBCP ever aired one of our ads?
Not that I've heard of.
Okay. Okay. Well, do they air ads? Air public service?
They
ads?
Will. They, it's not something that they are big on, and it's not a. It's really about staying on top of them because they've gotten information. They have the information for Patrick's, but it hasn't been read. I sent it to him in email form. Uh-huh. I think Patrick delivered a CD, so I'm not sure exactly why it hasn't been heard, but I haven't heard it.
Okay. And what about why don't we hear it on WEFT? I mean, who could be more...
It has to be changed to a... Patrick was supposed to be working on that and bringing it to us to put it in a format where it can just simply be a drop-in. Uh-huh.
See, now that's something I would need help with. I don't know what to do to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And maybe he needs help from someone who's more savvy with modern media.
Okay.
Because...
That would be mad.
That's just... we got the thing written. We just need it.
Okay. Aren't you at WEFT?
Yeah, but we have to have the... Because if it's not a... It depends on how he gives it to me. If it's about the extent of my ability is to put it in... If it's a CD, I can put it in and press play. But as far as compressing it into something else, I don't know how he gave it to WWS. I don't know in what form it was given to them.
I think Roger helped in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... I mean, once it's simplified like that, then it's much easier for me. And we can play it all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just waiting to be used.
Yeah.
By friendly airwaves.
By friendly airwaves.
But can I return to the WBCP? I think I might have been absent for a meeting or two.
Hey there.
And didn't hear what happened to the monies that were considered being put forward for... paid advertisements on the WBCP?
It's still just waiting to be used. We haven't used it at all.
And that was money from the Illinois Law Association?
Right.
Well, I can tell you where the money... some of the funds comes from something called the Marriage Fund. When people wed in the courts, they pay a fee. And that's discretionary money that... the presiding judge can determine how it would be used, and Judge DeFantis made a decision that funds for our public service announcement would be an appropriate place to spend some of the what's loosely called the marriage money.
Mm-hmm. So we just need to follow through.
Yep. And we need to be clear about. The only ad that I think that is actually ready, I think Claire's is ready to go also, right? I think Claire's piece was ready to be used.
I don't know. I only heard her read it at the county board meeting.
All right. So Patrick's is the only one that's actually in a file that can be handed to them, and they should already have it actually be used. So I will vow before the next meeting to make sure something is ready to roll.
And the real follow-through is the money issue. So if we could put it in the minutes that next meeting will return to the issue, and I think if we can get our hands on the money, things will happen a lot quicker.
Mm, okay.
Money makes the world around.
Mm-hmm.
makes people move a little faster sometimes. Yeah, I can agree with that.
So that means getting judged upon is to write a check. Okay, and I think, you know, we have the quotes, and I know it was a July 20th message that you sent me, and I went to my email, and I no longer have the July 20th. But okay. On July 20th, you sent everybody the quote for what the WBCP, what they charge to run ads.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If anybody else has their July 20th email, Aaron sent us a message on July 20th.
For some reason, I can't get online here.
2010. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's just shut off after hours.
All right, well, we need to follow up on that and get something on WBCP and WFT. So I'll call Patrick and see exactly what the holdup is with changing his, and I'll call Claire and see if she wants to do a reading. We can basically, I think I thought we wanted to go to like WDWS or WILL, somewhere where the quality was going to be clearer, like they had booths set up for that. We can do some of that at the Independent Media Center, but it's not as polished as...
Well, something like for Jeff Bossert, I can just drop this off for him, let him get, you know, spend however much time he wants reading about what we've been doing.
Okay.
Speaking of our not the devil, but the angel. and maybe he would want us to use... Maybe WILL would... give us the tapes. I mean, whatever the... I don't even have the vocabulary to say what the thing is that that makes an ad.
Well, Patrick, what we're talking about is like when you sent your piece to WDWS, right?
Yes.
And what format did you send it in again?
I didn't send anything in the format.
How did you get that done for them? You went in?
Yes.
And then they gave you something, though?
They sent it in an email.
MP3.
Yeah.
That's what, okay. And so we were just asking, we were just talking about how we can get that put into like a CD so that it can be given to WBCP.
If they don't have, what are you shaking your head for?
I don't know how to do that.
No matter what.
Turning MP3 onto a CD.
If anybody has a CD, they can download it. I mean, I just had it.
I took the MP3, you sent an email, and I have it on my iPod.
Uh-huh.
And I think I could, so I'm pretty sure it'd be pretty straightforward to put it
on. Yeah, just downloading. I mean, I don't have any CDs, because I don't have any CDs. All I have is in, you know, iPod.
Okay, so Bill, you'll do that for us?
Sure.
Let's get us, if we can get 3 copies on CD, that means WEFT, WBCP, and we'll have another for another spot. We also can do that. What is it? Minute at the Square? What is it? The 3-minute piece that you can do?
Public Square.
If you can email that to me, I have contacts at Will 580.
Now they don't do ads.
That maybe they can
Square.
Convert it from the MP3.
They do 3 minutes.
Get it online.
Right, well, you
discussion
just
of issues, but
your
column would be wonderful on the public square.
I think it would,
except preaching to the choir, boy, oh boy. But still, it's good. I mean, it's just good to have it out.
Yeah, there's still some. I would say that our public square should be more along the lines of the questions that we continue to get, thinking that you are the only way that you get into the pool is to be a registered voter. I think we should take some of the reoccurring questions that came from the WDWS interview. If we're going to do a public square piece, let's do some education around it as opposed to just preaching to the choir. There's still some folks in the choir that are off note, that are not hitting the keys exactly right.
Aaron, after you and Judge Stefanis left WDWS, did they give you the tape of your hour?
No, I did not get that. I guess we could probably have it archived somewhere, though.
Probably.
Okay, well, I can request that from them. So, that's an important piece. So that's why we want to go back and look at that. And I think that, I don't personally, Brian, I think that if we actually have the material and the quote, then we just, okay, Judge DeFinis or whoever's in charge of this money, this is how much we need, and this is who the check needs to be written to. So I think, let's see what Bill can come up with if we have a polished piece. And I'll talk to Sam down at DCP. And we'll just go down there and make this happen over the next month. And then probably before we meet again, we should have something. Or for that next meeting, we should have something for folks to listen to that's approved and get it started running for the new year. Easily.
What are we... The... Were you trying to get something aired on WBCP
mm-hmm.
and WEFT?
Mm-hmm.
In addition to... Okay, I see here your poem. So what are you trying to add that into the...
Yeah, we're going to put all three pieces that we have was what we just discussed. Your piece, Claire's, and mine to somehow make that into a series of things. We may want to go with the first 2 months, maybe your piece, the next 2 months, maybe. I don't know how we're going to chop it up because I know your concern was that we didn't want to have three different ads running at the same time, sending, you know, we want to make sure that the message is clear and then before we move on to another one. So we have to see exactly how we want to do it. But we want to get the ball rolling at first. And I still think that your piece was the first one that was finished. It should be the first one that we use, probably. That would be my opinion. But, I mean, we can discuss that more when we get ready to actually move out with it. Yes, Ms. Putnam.
Also, I would like to say this for you to hear. We also discussed this earlier. WILL news person Jeff Bostard is interested in our work but cannot attend meetings at this time. But if you, Claire, and Aaron could find a mutually agreeable with Mr. Bostard also to go to WILL, he would like to include your spoken creation in a feature that he'd like to produce. That would you be up for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there times that it's not possible for you to come? I should get that.
How about the best if you do it through email?
Okay, but still, if I'm going to call Jeff, I know that Fridays at 5.
Well, all he really needs is the public service announcer, right?
I'm not sure. I think he wants to do a feature that would involve knowing you, speaking with you, using your public service announcement.
It's more of an interview.
Okay.
Well, you all, we'll iron those out in just a second. Okay. But Matt here has to leave.
Okay.
And come on in. We brought some cake and ice cream for you. No, I'm just kidding. Matt is leaving not just leaving at 6:15, but this is Matt's last meeting with us.
Aren't you coming to the December meeting?
I won't be a board member.
You can still participate publicly.
It's fine. Then we'll have some actual public participation when you come in. So, Matt, you want to say something before you go?
Not really. wasn't planning to.
I know you were. Well, you do well on the spot. So.
No, I don't. it's been good working with you all.
G-O-O-D.
Hmm?
G-O-O-D. Good.
Good. Yes.
So we also don't know who will be the chair of Justice now, because he's the chair of the Justice Committee. So there may be some things that we have to adjust to, or you know, just
well,
to keep our eye.
Whoever's chair would then come on this committee.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I know.
So just wanted to make sure folks were aware of that, and it looks like they have another commitment this evening.
Well, Matt, I just wanted to say thank you for your support for the jury committee, and I know it was your leadership that helped bring this committee together. And so you're much appreciated for it.
Very much appreciated.
Thank you. Not just me, but yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it continues well as it has so far.
We'll keep you informed. We'll keep you on email. How about that? So
that would be good.
That'd be good? Okay. All right. right. So he stays on the email list. Anybody opposed to that? Good. Not seeing no hands. All right.
Well, good night.
All right, man. See y'all later.
Take care, Matt.
Let's see.
Is it his birthday?
I don't know. That was some. I don't know exactly what the engagement was. So is that clear? Are we done? We've exhausted that, and we really want to have a decent discussion here, without Mr. Beckett here, and without Judge DeFontes here about this.
All that.
This discussion about the court watch. Mm-hmm. Huh? Oh, I was just
joking.
Anyway, it's not. Anyway, what I'm saying is that. The reason why I said their names is because obviously they had a little different viewpoint on the study.
That's true.
Like that's true. Yeah. Right. So I was just throwing it out there like that. But I thought it was it's interesting. It's some information that we need to discuss. So we want to move on to that topic and see what some of us as members of this committee find to be alarming, find to be helpful. Ms. Miller, you have something for us down there?
I have some. If somebody needs a copy.
Yes, I'd like to have one.
Gosh, I'd like one.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have one?
I made my own.
I did not make my own. I appreciate that very much, John.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. Very
is there
much.
One more?
That's all I have.
Okay. I can share with you.
I have one.
Oh, he has one. Well, then I'll share with you. Want this? Do you have this?
You know, I almost don't care what it says, because I think it's just the same thing, that things haven't gotten better, and I don't think that's a reflection on us. I mean, we have our public service announcement.
You haven't done anything to make it better yet.
The time since we first were convened has been spent, in my opinion, us getting to know one another and getting to know how the system works here and getting to know what is it possible for us to do. But I wasn't surprised that the picture is no brighter. I mean, it hasn't gotten better. People still don't, as Bill Brown pointed out when we discussed the interview on WDWS, not everyone has an equal chance of having their name drawn to be entered in the pool. And circumstances do not allow many people to say yes to the summons.
I'd like to ask Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
From your perspective, what I'm thinking about when I think about what Ms. Putman just said, and I think about the findings and what we all know is a reality for African-American males, so African-American people, but in particular African-American males in the jury system, to walk into a situation or into a criminal case where you're black and male, you know, is not a welcoming situation. So looking at our involvement,
mm-hmm.
15 years ago in the community, or 20 years ago in the community, right, and our involvement now, I'm trying to pull out of us what happened to make us do what we're doing now as opposed to what we did before, and how can this committee help to highlight what we're the choices we made to do what we're doing now as opposed to what we did before. Does that make sense?
What are you talking about what you did before?
Individual?
Yeah, 15 years ago.
Lifestyle, things that we were doing before we started getting involved positively in the community.
Oh, like you and Patrick.
Are you talking about individually, you talking about?
I think individually, each story is going to have some similarities. But I was just speaking to you because this is something that has become extremely passionate for you. I mean, a big piece for you in trying to understand how to get clear information to people. So I guess I'm asking: do you think, with all the experience that you have, do you think that education about jury service will increase the participation from African Americans?
And just my strong opinion, and when when you look at now, you say, okay, well, how come people are not involved? How come people don't want to be involved? How do we get people involved? And I'll just use me and you as an example because I know you and you know me. You know, it was a period where we were not involved and nothing no one could say or do could get us involved unless there was some methods that was helping us to develop how do we get to be involved. You know, the 30-some plus years that it took us to get to where we at now, that just didn't happen overnight. Those were the, you know, trials and tribulations that we experienced. But if you say, okay, well, what if there were some things in place back then that would have had came and gathered us, you know, and said, okay, here's an opportunity, you know, by us all, you know, knowing one another, you know, associated with another, you know, if you go to school, I go to school. He go to school. If I go to work, you go to work. If I hang on the corner, you hang on the corner. If you smoke, I smoke. So that's the mind frame and the concept. I mean, and that happens not just with, but I mean, that's period. With individuals, people, that's how we gravitate to things. And so I think that if the study is only a snapshot of what they see, you know, it's not the root of it. And then the only way to engage racism and prejudice is to find a way to engage it. You can protest outside, or you could be the first black to be a judge here in town. Which one do you see more effective? This one may work, this one may work. And it depends on where you want to put your energy at. If you think that this black judge has more to offer to understanding, he still has a job and a duty.
But now, let me tie something together.
So,
when you said gather us together,
mm-hmm.
right, and put some steps
yeah.
in place, so yeah. offer these particular opportunities,
right.
That's where I think that this committee, that's why I'm asking about this committee. Let's say, because if we get the support, we get a pamphlet. We got jury questionnaires changed. We're going to have a pamphlet of bullet points. We got PSAs. We have all these different things in which, and I'm saying that as black males, mm-hmm. coming from where we come from, and Ken might have been a hellraiser back in the day too. I don't know. I didn't
know. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I'm from Danville.
Having people quiet.
Are a little bit different. I'm just interested in this, y'all, because you guys, I take it, not to renegade this, but y'all knew each other from back in the day.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm just an outsider, quote unquote. You know, I'm from Danville, and I live in Rantoul, so I don't have any roots at all in Rantoul even.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just enjoying listening to this conversation of y'all saying how y'all grew up, because it just takes me back to my childhood to what I was doing, you know, 15, 20, 25 years ago. But y'all carry on.
Ken, did you grow up in Danville?
Grew up in Danville. But you have to remember, my perspective, and y'all don't take this wrong now, but I grew up in a General Motors neighborhood. Okay?
Right.
General Motors was union.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't too many quote-unquote people who weren't doing without in my neighborhood.
That's
right. So everybody had two cars, trash compactors, central mm-hmm. air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, you know, but General Motors took care of all of us over there.
Right.
So, and I will say that both my parents were on jury duty.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them participated. So
that's why I was trying to offer this sort of very clear perspective of folks like me and Patrick who were immersed in a culture where everything associated with the police was negative
mm-hmm.
and the criminal justice system. We didn't want nothing to do with that, period. It was all considered snitching or it was all considered something like that. So that's why I'm asking, how do we target a
a group within a group even that we know is not really that interested because they have their own mindset about the criminal justice system and stuff like that. So I'm just trying to see how we could be most effective with what we're creating here. Even if it don't change a person right today, I still think that it doesn't make us, this committee, a failure or something if the 10 people we sat down in the room don't get interested in the next 2 months. They don't get involved. It may happen 5 or 10 years from now.
Well, I've been really, really, you know, thinking, how do you reach the mass? What is the best way? Because if you go and if you ask 10 different individuals that are African American, young and old, you know, what's their reason why they don't want to sit on the jury? Or have they ever received one? Would they sit on it? Would they know what to expect? I think that's the more broader aspect of it, because now you're getting to the root of why African Americans don't want to participate, whether it's by fear, choice, just don't have the time, don't want to, you know, because there could be there's a number of those reasons of why. Intimidated, you know, don't have the time, work, whatever, family members. And that is a conversation or a educational piece of dialogue that is really, really strongly needed within the African American community. Now, how do you reach that? Do you do it through video? Do you do it through public service? Do you do it through pamphlets? You know, how do you reach the mass of the community? Is only through radio
and the churches.
Radio, news, segments of the where they can run it on different channels. You know, that's the way you can. You know, if you had 5 African Americans and each one of them said, "Well, I ain't got time to be on the jury," or "What difference does it make to sit on there?" Or another guy said, "Well, if they have been charged, they're probably guilty." Or the other one may be, "I can't get off work," or "I got a family member," or "I ain't finna tell on nobody." You know, if you had those type of people making those type of comments, then that to me would make, you know, because each one of them may identify with a group or a part, I mean, certain people in individuals or segments within the community that had that same belief or that same opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, and
my question. So if you got a person that say, you know what, I ain't telling nobody, what good does this do for them?
Yeah.
What good is this information, these pamphlets, the PSAs, what does that do?
Not too much.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm wondering. Well, it helped. The conversation helped me in this way, because it's clear to me that hip hop, 105.5, and the churches, right? Mm-hmm. Some medium that young people, young African Americans in particular, relate to. It has to be our avenue to get our point out, right? Mm-hmm. And so, as much as I love and appreciate WBCP, I think it'll have some impact on WBCP, I think from an educational standpoint.
Right.
But as far as planting seeds of importance in the minds of young African-American males, it's got to be 105.5.
That's a big segment, but that's still that segment. You know, because, you know, some of them don't listen to 105. It's hard to get 105 to even want to do it, because I don't even think they ran the one that I...
But if it's a paid ad,
well, if it's paid, then that may be different.
Right.
But I still think it's a, you know, if it's a 30-minute or minute commercial, where we in the courtroom where we could bring in 8, 10 African Americans, and have, and each one of them, and man, I just thought of this, and we don't have to do it, but it just was my thought, if we videotape like a commercial, and each one of them make that statement. And at the end, maybe you or one of us could say, you know, if you get this question, then fill it out. You know, something, because that's something that we, you know, it may reach a few more people because it's education. You know, it's what something that we can do that's within our means. You know, within our means, if you look at this, you know, if you look at the observation and the data, this just states the problem. They don't talk about the solution. Well, how are you going to start addressing this? What are you going to do? You know, I mean, we can say, well, this is a problem. You know, but what is the solution? What is the solution to this? How do you start getting those numbers increased? And education can go into, it can stimulate those that may want to become judges, you know, African-Americans that are, you know, that are at the law library, maybe the state's attorneys, maybe become being prosecutors. You know, it's different ways.
So it's different audiences.
It's different audiences. It's different. I mean, because you got to have that in order to make the system have diversity within the system. You know, you got to have that. If you never have anybody that's over there that's a black state's attorney or a black or an African American or minor Latin, you know, public defender or a couple of them, you know, then how do you expect to create a change? I mean, and that's the legal system.
Anybody else want to chime in?
I think it's not just the jury. I mean, we're looking at the composition of the juries, but it's not just the juries. I mean, the whole courthouse, except for maybe the deputies, they're all white.
Yeah.
You know, we have white judges. We have almost entirely white lawyers. We have a few African-American lawyers. But it's a culture of whiteness that you see at the courthouse. So if you're a young black man, I don't think that you would feel comfortable going. And, you know, that's what I see a lot, too, is older black people on juries, but very, very rarely. I don't think I've ever seen a young black man on a jury.
Can I?
Go ahead.
You know, and I'll, you know, this is more personal, but when I was sentenced to my federal sentence, and I was in front of a black lady judge in St. Louis, and I was adamant about how come every time that you look around, is African American going to jail for drugs. You know, we don't bring them over here, but we get these long sentences for these drugs. And the first thing she said, you know, and she said, you're right. She said, and this is all I ever see. And she said, you're still young, and you have time, you know, and you're going to be gone for a while, but you're going to be able to come home. And she said, it's a big problem. She said, because all I ever see is young African-American males coming in here. And I'm looking at the prosecutor, and I could just see that he knew. But he had a job to do. And the most important thing that she ever told me, she said, but you either could be, she said, and I see you got family, you got little kids. And she said, you can either be part of the problem, part of the solution. Now, I did for 4 or 5 years. I never could understand what she was saying to me. And I didn't understand what she mean by, you know, and I was really trying to block it out because she was, you know, I was looking for sympathy, but at the same time, I was right with what I was saying, and she told me that, and it all to this, up until this, and even to the day, it was the message that she used to be part of the problem, part of the solution. And part of the problem was that I had to take responsibility for my action, although there was racism here and prejudice here, I had to take responsibility for my action. And putting myself in that situation, allowing somebody, my friend, to tell on me, taking me away from my premise. And that was part of how do I now become part of the solution? And it was a, you know, that message that we can give to the community has to be, you know, and just like she said, how do we get those, just, you know, African American, how do we get, you know, support coming out of that law building to get African Americans to want to be prosecuted? It's okay to be, it's okay to be a police, it's okay to do these, you know, that is as important as being on this jury, because it now brings diversity, you know, and other parts of, I mean,
I feel where you're coming from, and I want to get his piece in, but I think that what you said to me, what resonated to me was the message. And that is something that we can do with access through the radio, with the support that we have, the resources and stuff like that, to make sure that the message, like what you said the judge shared with you, and that's what I'm really trying to extract from us. What was that, what clicked in our head? Because there is, even with a ton of information in front of you, at some point I have to gravitate, or I have to be seeking that information. So I'm saying that we want our message, and we want the stuff that we work on to be inspirational, right, in the sense that it makes it spark somebody and say, hey, you know what, I'm interested in that, and I'm going to go seeking, right, to go do the right thing also. Kid?
Oh, no, just following along with what you guys were saying. And he's, what Patrick said, I think, was one of the, what the judge said to you, mm-hmm, about part of the problem, part of the solution. And then your question was, is this situation here, quote-unquote, effective? Well, believe it or not, we may never even see it. We may never ourselves be here to witness what the solution is. But the thing is, still, we're part of the solution by doing this, mm-hmm, and laying the seeds. Okay? So there's some individuals, it may even be, my nephew's not here, but he did come. I think he came once. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did.
It may be him. Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's busy now, so, but he may be one to say, you know what? I was there. I remember them talking about this.
Right.
Someone we may not even know could make a change. But you just can't just, you know, stop and say, oh, well, we need to reevaluate and redo and make a U-turn and all that. You can't do those things. The thing is, you keep moving forward. Someone's coming behind you, just going to pick this up. Mm-hmm. And then you say, oh, you know what? It's all good. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
Okay. Jen?
I guess it's like better to light the candle and curse the dark. I mean, mm-hmm, why else would we be here on Fridays at 5:30? But Joan is 100% correct that it's the entire court system is white. Right. And it's not just the court system, of course. When you go to the hospital, all the doctors are going to be not like you. And it's the world that you live in. And I know what white skin privilege is. But I know that I have it. And anyhow, we're getting way off with it, in case everybody wants to say that. But I have to think that in addition to the message that you made that people are going to hear, and the hip-hop message that's going to get out, and what we're going to do on 105.5, when Mark Foley brings into his history class in the Urbana High School something about what it means to be, have an opportunity to be a juror, I mean, that might get through too. Or when someone sees the poster that might be up, or looks on our website or our Facebook page and sees what the sample juror qualification questionnaire. I mean, all those things might cumulatively make a difference. And I think we have to believe that things would make a difference, or we wouldn't be here.
I mean, that was my suggestion, that we, you know, and I'm fine but do we? I would like to see that type of commercial in the courthouse where we, you know, I mean, we know enough. I mean, we know enough African American, whether we get the people that we know, Martell, you know, different in 10, you know, where we could give those statements to them and have them read that statement or have them memorize that statement so that. Because we know that's the, you know, we know that that's, you know, that's some of the reasons, mm-hmm, why they don't want to sit on the jury. I don't know how to get out of work, or I don't know how to get up, or I don't got time for that, or it ain't my fault, or he's probably guilty. You know, those things, I think, it educates. you know, and, you know, it educates, you know, and we have to do, we have to be able to not take on so much, but take on a little bit.
And be effective
at what we're doing, then try to take on a multitude because, I mean, I'm just looking at it. We still don't know how that software, I don't know the name of it. We don't know how it operates. We don't know how it randomly. I don't know if the Roger know or the judge know. I'm sure they probably don't know. They may have a better, but they probably don't know either. That's to me, somebody very technical. And a study where someone can actually study how's it done. Then what are you? You still showing? You may be showing the problem, not the solution. You know, if it's the problem with the questionnaires and they're going to the same address or they're not getting there, people. I mean, you can just go on and on and on about the problem, but I think the solution is what is more important, and that takes. You know, it's a commitment, and it's time to think about those things and take those steps. So that's what I've seen from the time we initially began with the activism and the show. I mean, I was like, okay, well, we just talking about a problem. We're not even. Touch the solution. You know, why is this young man drinking? Why is he smoking? Because this is what we did. You know? And you smoke and drink, you ain't going to go no work. You know? You ain't going to build no buildings. If I was, if you was to call me to come fix your home or build your home, and would you want me to feel it? You know, I'm drinking and smoking. Because you know your house is going to fall down eventually. Because I'm not going to be prepared to do the proper thing. So it's just how do we educate? How do we commit? How do we do things before the committee fizzles all the way out? You know, we have to bring it to a close. You know, I think we have to bring it to a close. Because they may not have that support. From the board going forward, so we had to bring something to the close, and if it picks up later, fine. If it doesn't, if we move on to something else, fine. You know, but it's getting that message. You know what I mean? Getting that out, finishing it up, mm-hmm. and moving on to the next. Clear. Yeah, moving on to the next fight, a battle that where we're going to be effective. You know, where we're going to, you know, make a difference and pull in some more people that can make a difference and get that support, you know.
Barbara, you want to say something?
Yeah. I'm not sure I understand what you are saying, but what I heard or got from it was the idea that in our in public communication we might have a dialogue in which people give voice to the reasons why they don't actually want to come to jury duty, different ones,
mm-hmm.
and then have response. People saying what you would say back to them, or you would say back to them about why they shouldn't take that as a reason not to come to jury, so that you have a interactive and
so
you're
you
getting at the actual
solution.
Points that
right.
people have for not coming.
I mean,
hold on. I just want to. This discussion is fruitful. I think something comes out of it. For the next 15 minutes, though, I would like for us to try to hone back into the Court Watch report. Just not to just restate the problem, but I'm saying that the League of Women Voters and Steve and the College of Law and stuff. There may be some things in here that we still want to highlight. I think Brian maybe has some of those things too. So, but I think it's
this is really solidifying the importance of us as a committee to organize a particular event. We did talk about that. There is some support out there from CUAP, from NAACP, CU Citizens, different organizations to say, hey, listen, we would like to support an initiative from this committee on educating strictly about jury service. That's all that we want to talk about. So we could do that in two different ways about getting that those statements out there. Ken, we'll let you come in, and then we'll move to you.
Oh, I think I saw his hand before even.
Oh, that's okay.
No, go ahead. I'm good.
Well, I wanted to mention something quickly about the court watching study. If we can turn it.
Yeah.
Well, it is the same, but I noticed the last 2 years, because I've been following this, that there's new information being collected, particularly on the issue of jurors who are seated and what jurors are being challenged by peremptory challenges, and this is an important piece.
Mm-hmm.
One, I'm concerned about too much talk or attention to the study because I don't know if it's the case, but if it's detracting the judge and Roger from coming to these meetings because they don't want to talk about these issues, I don't know if that's why, but I know it's a contentious one. And I think it's important that we not focus on the study too much. But I think the production, the talk that we have with the court authorities is much more productive than moving forward than the study. But what's important, I think, is that and what we find in last year's report and the current report is a difference between how frequently, in particular, African Americans are seated. So most recently, I noticed that only 25% of black males were seated on juries, and this is on page 7 of the most recent report that you all have in front of you. On page 7, only 25.25% of African American males were seated in the studies that were collected. While if you look at, in contrast, the number of white females who are seated, it's 62.9%, almost 63%. So white and with white males, 48%. So whites are, in this case, much more frequently seated, and African Americans are more likely to have their seats contested by peremptory challenges. So this is a great concern documented in the most recent study. But I looked at last year's study, and actually African American males were the most likely to be seated at 71%. So I think the judge is correct in that there's a great deal of fluctuation in the numbers. I think there's still a value to collect and get more numbers over a span of time, and certain consistencies will make themselves apparent. But I think I know that that's only the second year, as I understand that information has been collected. I would encourage you all to continue collecting that information about who gets seated and who gets contested.
It's always been collected. I don't know. It probably hasn't been reported in the study. And yeah, you have to always realize how actually of the number of trials that are held, how few the students actually observe. It's a very small percentage.
Bill, I agree. That's definitely worth following. I think it's also important to note the small numbers and how one person can make a big difference. If, two out of two were seated, African-American males were seated, six were not seated, if they'd watched another trial and maybe one more would have been or two more would have been, then it would have evened out with Caucasian males. And that's probably why you see the fluctuation year to year, just kind of because of the small numbers, one or two differences in one or two people can make a big difference in the percentages. The one thing I think I commented on in the email that I wanted to bring up again is that I think Judge DeFantis noted that as far as the new information we're collecting from the jury questionnaires recording race, he was saying, I forget, 11%, 12% of the questionnaires have been returned have been African American. Which is pretty close to what we would expect, a little bit low still. So, that fact makes me a little uncomfortable assuming that African Americans don't want to participate in the same rate that white people do. just because you wouldn't return the questionnaire if you didn't want to serve in the jury, I would assume. I mean, if you weren't going to respond to the summons, you probably wouldn't return the questionnaire. So it indicates to me there seems to be at least almost as much interest among African Americans as there is among whites. So I think maybe we ought to also keep looking at other reasons like economic or reasons that people are being excused later in the process.
I certainly learned recently, I was at a meeting, a luncheon with some members from the university, and where my personal or qualitative survey said one thing, the actual numbers, data, and quantitative stuff says something completely different. So whereas I thought more African Americans were being hired as BSWs at the university, actually in the last 10-year period, the number has decreased. But because I'm around a particular group and it looks like there's more of a, so we do have to be very clear about snapshots and be very clear about what the actual data says as opposed to our personal experiences. So I appreciate that, Bill, definitely. Ken, you wanted to say, and you skipped, you're fine? Okay. Ms. Putman.
Brian, I don't know if you have a copy of the court watching form, but the question about, was the juror seated and was it excused, so that we can judge if are there peremptory challenges being used to get rid of people of color. That's been asked, I think, since the questionnaire was developed.
Yeah, great.
And
I just
would
had
you
looked
like
at
a copy of this? This is a good thing.
No, I have a copy. Okay. I just had looked at, I think, the 205 or 206, and 07, and it didn't have this information.
I think our judges vary in how closely they watch. You know, it's a crime for defense or prosecution attorneys to excuse someone solely because of race, but how you prove that it's solely because of race is very difficult to do, and that's why we have to have the courts watched, and that's why I hope, even though this thing is saying the same thing year after year, quote, year after year, white jurors dominate the jury pools, and people of color make more nominal appearances. That's the same thing year after year after year. But still, we have to keep watching the League of Women Voters, trial advocacy students, and we. I have a difference of opinion with you, Patrick, about us finishing our work, because I don't think our work gets finished. Mm. I think it renews and continues. Maybe we have different focus. Maybe, you know, we get the public service announcements cut. Mm. We get our educational materials done. But I hope that this new county board that will be seated in December will reauthorize us, and that the next chair of the new Justice and Social Services Committee will join us. I mean, I like the idea. Oh, we've got a deadline to point. Come on, you people, get off the dime. Your lease on life is coming to an end, but I think they're going to renew us and ask us to keep going. Furthermore, I think they're glad, the county board is glad that this group of people is doing it, because the Justice and Social Services Committee wasn't. So,
well, just hold, because we got about 6 minutes left. I wanted us to make sure that we are clear on the reason why I thought this discussion was important. Not necessarily from the standpoint of the numbers, because I do think those are important, but we don't want to minimize the work of League of Women Voters and the College of Law.
That's right. It's
very important work that's going on. Right. And also, we know we have a very important member of our committee who sort of has took some issue with a couple of different things, right, or how it was being presented. So as a committee, basically, in essence, what we have is Ms. Miller from the League of Women Voters, and Judge DeFantis, who may not see eye to eye on this. What does that, how do we work through that as a committee, right? You know what I mean? I thought that might have been something that we wanted to look at. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know there was some discussion publicly about a difference of opinion between Judge DeFantis and Steve. I don't know if you shared that.
I don't see it, because I think Judge DeFantis sees the same things that we see. And sometimes, you know, he'll come to a meeting and tell you he had two trials that week and there were two African Americans on each of the juries. And I see that. Sometimes I see two African Americans on a jury. And this week I saw a jury that was all white. So, you know, we are seeing the same things. And, I mean, obviously he's very concerned about it. And
well, Joan, do you think the News Gazette sort of created this appearance of a big boxing match?
Because
you were there.
Well, I think
you're saying it wasn't.
I'm sure it's offensive to the judge to, you know, have the like attitude of the judge rated the way it is in the court watching reports. And I think that if there's a tone of the report that's critical, I'm sure that's offensive, because I do believe that Judge DeFantis does everything he can to make sure that the there's fair racial representation on the jury.
So, Patrick, you want to say something that we're going to try to...
I think, Barb, what you said earlier was, you know, correct. How do you, you know, once that statement is stated, that you have a comeback to saying, mm-hmm. you know, that's not a reason why. That is, you know, because with anything, you want to, the problem and the solution with the problem. Because I think we get into this habit of always stating the problem and not the solution. I mean, the problem, you know, and I think we have to get into the solution, understanding the problem and discussing the problem, but then talking about the solutions. And you know, I guess the next steps, you know, for me is being involved in the committee, is how are we going to get the message to be broader, to be educational, to be a focus on where we are saying to the African American community. If you are not receiving these questionnaires, you know, have you received one? Do you know if you received one? Have you tossed it? You know, nothing prevents, if you don't know what is hindering you from being involved, then how can you be involved? I think we have to take that approach and say, okay, how do we get this message out through a commercial, through public service? You know, commercials where we actually now we're putting faces to that problem, and we're challenging
mm-hmm. both.
We're challenging the community, mm-hmm. saying, hey, you know, because we know what our excuse is going to be, and what are these reasons going to be, mm-hmm. and you may miss a few, mm-hmm. but we know what the reasons are. And is that a reason? And you can't talk about injustice in the court system when you ain't willing to, you know, it's just like this, the old saying, they ain't going to hire me because the system is rigged. Ain't nothing but what, it's rigged. Well, if you don't never fill out the application, then you can't never really say that it's rigged. Then if you're filling it out and you ain't getting hired, then you can question it. Right. Say, well, hey, I filled it out. Here's paperwork. I didn't get hired. That's simple. But if you just say, well, I ain't going to fill it. It's rigged. I ain't going to be going through it because I already know the outcome. And you say, well, it's rigged. Then, well, did you fill it out? No, because it's rigged. Well, you don't have no argument. You have no case to prove.
Right. You don't put us in a position where we can actually show something.
Yeah.
Bill, I wanted to ask you this before. We're not going to get through this whole agenda, y'all. I can see that already. Mm-hmm. So we'll come back to some of these other points. They're not very in-depth anyway about... the electronic comparison of the old questionnaire and new questionnaire. I thought that was something that Jenny wanted to discuss. Roger wanted us to go over the implementation of the second notice letter and questionnaire. So it's already almost 7 o'clock, so I think we're going to have to revisit those at the next meeting. We need to set a date and stuff. But quickly, Bill, can you, either now or maybe at the next meeting, can we ask you to, based upon the numbers of quote-unquote minorities and majorities, what would a actual jury, 12 juries and 2 alternates, what should it look like based upon the numbers?
The demographics
of the community. What would that look like based upon the percentages of demographics?
1-to-1 ratio.
It'd be somewhere between 1 and 2, 1 and some fraction African Americans on a jury. for given the demographics of Champaign County.
So now, even with that, so if we have one, maybe two African Americans on every single jury, would that make this committee, would that satisfy, would that satisfy our concern if it was one or two African Americans on every single jury that we had from now on? Would that satisfy, would we say, you know what, that's what it should be. That's good enough for us.
And we could disband the committee, yes.
I agree. That's what our charge is. I mean, that doesn't solve everything that's wrong with the criminal justice system by a whole lot. But it's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to get the jury to be more reflective of the community.
Mm-hmm. And the basis of my question was that I just felt like I didn't know if, okay, because you have... The reason why I asked the question is that I think it gives us a much clearer focus, because if you're talking about impartiality and all that kind of different stuff in this conversation, there's no way one or two African Americans on that jury bring that to this jury, because what goes on behind closed doors in the jury is, it can get wild back there, right? You know what I'm saying? But if we're just talking about what a person looked like sitting on this jury, okay, then that's what our charge is. I think that I want to try to keep us focused on that, because sometimes it broadens out into what's fair and all that kind of different stuff. And if we're just simply talking about what is it that can get more black faces on this jury, then I think it helps us focus a little bit more on exactly what our task is. Because I hear sometimes in your statements, Patrick, or even mine, that we're trying to actually educate them on how to be a good juror, mm-hmm. right? And to come in here and know what to dress and all that kind of different stuff. And it's like, that seems to be a little bit outside the scope of what we are actually charged to do, what this committee is, you know. So I just want us to think about that a little bit. I don't want to try to keep us here all night long, y'all.
Try to add a short thing. I really appreciate your conversation. One thing I picked up from it when you were talking earlier about why African Americans might not want to serve and being kind of disenfranchised from the justice system. Just thinking about the diversity of the police force is not really representing the community.
That's right.
And in a way that does kind of broaden our function if we're looking at that as a wet method of encouraging participation among African Americans. And that's something I hadn't thought of before, but I did appreciate that.
Jenny, if the committee, if the committee continues, then does it stay just with the jury, or does it stay on broadening of the diversity within the justice, within the legal system? You know, does it go to, you know, the police? Does it go to the judges? Does it go to the state attorney? Does it go to the public defender? Does it go to the probation officer, correction officer, sentencing? You know, does it continue with that type of, because you have to bring in more than just us, you know, and how do you increase that diversity? Because if you just stay with the jury, you limit it with jury. If we want to see jury, we want to see some hiring practices with African Americans coming out of the internships.
So what you're saying is that at some point, the committee itself is right on the heels of what Bill was saying, is that there are different aspects that feed into the culture of whiteness. Or it's not cool to be police officer, all that kind of,
federal bill, where's the internship for African Americans to come and be state's attorneys? To be, you know what I mean? Because
that's things like that.
You got to have that to have an effective, to have an effective diversity within the justice system. Alabama has had African Americans as chief of police, as well as Champaign. You know, but you still have a system at the courthouse that never had an African American judge in the history, in this whole history. That has to change.
I think it's one.
You know, and,
he was a state's attorney or something like that.
Never had a judge that's been African American. You know, you don't see a lot of state's attorneys that are African American that are coming through the system.
But of course, you had a black judge. It didn't make any difference.
Why would you say that?
Because of what she said with you, perhaps. But
It's not about the black judge showing favoritism, because he may even be more harder in a way.
Mm-hmm.
He may be more harder in a way, but it's being able to create that diversity that we have to have.
So there's some opportunities.
It goes to the core. You know, it goes to the core of how you create diversity.
Okay, y'all, we gotta wrap this up. Okay, wait a minute. I got two here. I know we need a date for the next meeting, and I know we got a lot of holidays coming up. But are we going to meet in December?
Well, what do you think? Because people have 101 reasons not be here. I'm not critical of a soul, and I don't think that DeFontis and Holland are here because they're angry about anything. I just think they had something else to do. But what about trying to have another meeting in November, the 19th? Are people too busy with stuff?
November 19th.
Well,
I'll be out of town.
Okay. And there's something else coming up on the 19th. Well, no, that's doing a date for me. I'll be here. I mean, I'll.
I would think that we would. I would like for us to get to. I would like for us to before we meet again to actually get some things in the public.
Yeah, I think that's more important than meeting, like you and Claire, more important. Come to WIL.
Yeah, I think that is more important.
Yeah,
because I think that gives us that. Can
you're going to take
motivate
a
and that can you know that can put keep putting a picture on what we're doing. I think that's more important than anything, you know, us being able to do those things and then come back and meet after those things have been done.
So that's why I'm trying to say, and that's fine.
Yeah,
because
I think that's
but we need
December.
The 3rd of December?
That's a Friday.
I can't come on that. Because the Champaign County Democrats are having a holiday party.
Okay. I mean, all
so what is?
I will say what my reasons
what
are.
What is December 10th? Is that too much? Is that too?
That's good.
Okay, so let's tentatively set for December 10th.
Okay.
Is our next meeting, and
I'll send an email around asking people if they can come.
Okay. Then we need to get together, Jenny. If you send the email for us for the. Send me an email reminder for the to go to WILL, and then Claire and me and Patrick, whatever, we can go over there.
That could be neat, and I'll take this for Bossert to look at for a while. I mean, he really wanted to do something, but this is not a time when he can.
And that's fine. So let's take it there.
And I'll send some statements about
reasons,
and then Barb, would you be willing to counter those statements?
I don't think I'm the best person to do that. I think you and Aaron are.
An African-American voice.
I think that principally, if we're talking about civic duty and stuff like that, I think that we offer a unique perspective. But a general response is still a general response.
I can do I'll be glad to draft something.
We just do make maybe 8, 9, 10 statements. They have to be short statements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then we can think about putting some faces with those statements. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because Roger and them always said, you know, we we can use the courthouse. We never took advantage of that.
Right.
Of bringing a video camera or having we just need to really do that and have people come in, whether we do it all at the same time or splice it, and have them come in. We can do 3-4 at a time. You know, and really run that, get Channel 3, 15, you know, the cable, you know, with Comcast, and get them to run it for a while. And it goes to a lot of people, and people are going to, you know, they're going to look at that.
Okay.
You know.
The next meeting scheduled. There's no more public participation. Before we adjourn, I just wanted y'all, I don't know how I looked over this. This is what was passed out to us at the meeting from the folks at Unit 4.
Oh.
It's Justice by the People, a Civics History and Language Arts program.
Can you write that down?
It says, participating in the jury system, students will understand how juries are selected and how constitutional amendments such as the 14th Amendment influence lawsuits. Objective, students will learn about the civic responsibility of jury duty by conducting an interview. They will then write an essay explaining why participation in the jury system is important. So they have various different pieces on this.
It's used in Unit 4.
Yes, but when it gets handed to you, you feel like, wow, that's great. But then you learn that that's given like one day.
Basically a class plan for one class.
For one class, and that's it. And it might happen for the 7th and 8th graders, and then don't happen again until 11th grade or 12th grade. So there's no actual curriculum around it where it's incorporated on more of a regular basis. So I don't know how I overlooked that, but I wanted to bring that, to make copies of it and to give to everybody. Jenny, if I give you that, can you make copies of that?
Well,
this
is something else. You know, we have, I don't mind doing it.
Pious.
You know, our committee has no resources. We don't have a secretary. We don't have a staff person. And that's one of the reasons that we haven't been that effective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if we can give it to Pius, and we can run them here.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have
when I looked at that, I didn't find it terribly valuable myself.
Well, then
it's some information that we didn't know.
We could use it to take off on how to improve.
Yeah. Barbara?
I want to make a point that I tried to make a long time ago. There is one area that I've never raised that I think has an effect on jury, people willing to come to the jury pool, and that is the way in which the non-judge, non-lawyer personnel at the courthouse treat black people. And I'm thinking of, remember, Brian, the day that you rescued that guy that had a hoodie on and the police? He went to get, he was part of the audience, and he went to get a candy bar or something. And three security guards come converge on him and tell him, get that thing off his head. And, you know, he was just like, and Brian and I were talking and somebody else down the hall, and he went up and said, what's happening? And they cooled it. You know, because there was a white person saying, what are you doing? This was a young black male. Another time, I was going through the line to come in when I hadn't been to court very often, way back a couple years ago, and there was a African-American woman ahead of me, and they said, oh, you can't have a cell phone in here. It's ours. Confiscate. I thought, wow, I got to be wrong. About 2 or 3 weeks later, I'm going through the line, and I had my cell phone because I'd forgotten. They were so nice to me. They said, oh, ma'am, you can't bring that in here. You will have to take that back to your car. So I know those are just two little anecdotes, but I know stuff like that goes on all the time. And it makes people fearful of going there, you know, for any purpose at all. Mm-hmm. And that's something that seems to me we could raise.
All right, y'all. We are ready.
Has anybody read this letter? That I think it's fine. I have the most minor little corrections, but I think that we should.
Was that the second
reminding
question?
People? You know, we haven't heard from you. The
second letter. No.
No.
Yeah. The jury services that's at the centerpiece of our system of justice, and that people aren't willing to serve on a jury. People can't have their legal matters decided.
Okay, y'all. Can we close this out the way we started? Now, because Jenny has a point that I think we should
Should we just move this to the next meeting? Is that what I want to do?
Yeah.
Because we didn't
okay.
take it up.
Okay.
So
okay.
we would move it.
Let's
okay.
move it to the next time, Kitty. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So if all hearts and minds are clear, this meeting is adjourned.
All hearts and minds are clear?
I mean, the real problem, of course, is the GM.